It's time to talk to Unetse. Today we're talking about diabetes. Unetse, good morning. Welcome to the show this morning.
Good morning, Wayne.
And Unetse, thanks for the topic. Diabetes, obviously different types of diabetes and various causes. We've got some questions which we'll get into during the course of the chat. But over to you. You know, tell us all about diabetes.
You know, when it comes to diabetes, although we've spoken about this so many times, I think we can never really refresh our knowledge about it. And obviously, there's new people that's been diagnosed on a daily basis. So definitely something to talk about. Mm. And I always think it's, I want to use the word easy, because it's actually, yeah, a very easy way that we can make sure that we can control it. I always tell people, you know, it's not like the death sentence. If you are responsible and we do the right things, then it's not that difficult. It's really easy. I think sometimes people are, you know, they are anxious because they think it's so difficult. But with a little bit of guidance, it's actually quite easy to control your blood sugar levels. So just to take one step back, one thing that we have to understand when it comes to being diabetic, it's really about how your body metabolizes carbohydrates and what happens with the glucose. So for us as normal individuals, when we consume a carbohydrate, I always take a slice of bread as an example, and you chew and you swallow the bread, then obviously that whole digestion process starts. But then the carbohydrate gets basically broken down to glucose, and that glucose will be released into your bloodstream. The minute the glucose is released into your bloodstream, your pancreas basically gets the signal that there's carbohydrates entering the bloodstream, and then your pancreas, which is normally the beta cells, releases insulin. And insulin is the hormone that helps the body to control your blood glucose levels. And if we look at normal levels, maybe for me and you, it would be anything between 3 and 5, almost irrespective of the amount and the type of carbohydrate that I consume, because our pancreas has got the ability to release that insulin. But the problem is, when you are diabetic, that's really where the problem, so it's sort of two ways. So number one, either your pancreas releases insulin from the beta cells, or the cell walls has become resistant to the stimuli of the insulin, and that then influences the absorption. So if you are diagnosed as a type 1 diabetic, generally younger, it's your beta cells might not produce enough insulin. So generally those people will inject insulin. Then secondly, if you are a type 2 diabetic, this is more like an insulin resistance scenario. So there's still a release of insulin from your pancreas. It's not that that beta cells are not working at all. And then there's various factors that contributes to being type 2 diabetic. And I think insulin resistance and weight is then the other thing. But because of the fact that you are either resistant or there's not a release, the amount of carbohydrate that I consume and the type of carbohydrate is very important, because your body does not have the ability, the insulin, there's not enough to actually keep your levels between 3 and 5. So when we are diabetic, the starting point would be to look at what type of carbohydrate am I consuming, how much am I consuming, and that is a very effective way of controlling your sugar levels, obviously in conjunction with whatever medication you have been advised then to take.
Okay.
So when it comes to the types of carbohydrates, you would remember we've spoken about low GI and high GI type of carbohydrates. And the reason why this is important is because low GI carbohydrates, it means that the release from the glucose release from the carbs are at a slower rate. And then with the higher ones, the release of the carbohydrates, it would be at a high, you know, at a higher rate. So this has got a direct impact on the effect of our blood glucose levels, because of the insulin that's available at that point in time.
Okay.
Yes.
Just a question at that point. You know, sort of various causes. Is or can diabetes be hereditary? You know, in other words, if there's a strain in the family, or is it something that, you know, maybe lifestyle related, or just as your body starts getting old and, you know, things start breaking, you know, various causes, you know, what causes it?
So basically, I think it's a little bit of both. So there would be something hereditary if we look at maybe your pancreas and beta cell production. But then lifestyle is a huge thing. So if we think about people being inactive, people are overweight. And obesity is a huge contributing factor to maybe something like type 2 diabetes, because around the body's cells, there would be a lot of there would be a fat layer around that body cell. Mm. And because of that, the insulin that's being released cannot get to, so basically on your cell wall, there will be a sort of a trigger point where the insulin needs to activate that specific mechanism for the glucose to be absorbed into the cell, where we then can use it for, where the body then can use it for energy. But the problem is, if you are overweight, that whole mechanism are sort of inhibited by the fact that there's fat in the way to for the insulin to get to the trigger point of the cell wall. So right, definitely right. Both ways. Yeah.
And a question that popped in from a listener is, and you know, maybe linked slightly to old wives' tales, but still possibly relevant in the grand scheme, is if you eat too many sweets or you eat too much sugar. On your breakfast cereals or in your coffee and tea and things like that, can that trigger diabetes?
I think it's got, so maybe in a way that I've just spoken. So all of the sugar content that you consume on a daily basis leads to the fact that you become overweight, then you will find yourself in that insulin resistant type of scenario. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there are some people out there that's very skinny and they can consume a lot of sugar, and by hook or by crook, you know, they get away with it. But I think for the average person out there, a high amount of sugar intake, also refined carbohydrates. So if we think about white breads, white biscuits, then obviously refined sugar, sweets, all of those things. Because then obviously your pancreas produces insulin over a lot, and that can create insulin resistance, and it can also lead to weight gain. So that's sort of the mechanism behind it. Maybe the old wives' tale, maybe not that wrong, but that's really the mechanism that will cause that. And I think it's been more weight related in conjunction with the amount of sugar that you consume.
Mm-hmm. More lifestyle related. Generally lifestyle related than specifically just eating too many sweets.
Yes, and also with lifestyle, sometimes people will, you know, come and say, oh, but my grandmother was a diabetic and my mother was a diabetic and now I'm a diabetic. But the thing is, if it was only weight and lifestyle related. So if the whole family sort of, if obesity was a thing in the family, I wouldn't call it hereditary. It would more really be, it can maybe be lifestyle related instead of hereditary.
Right.
Don't expect if your grandmother and your mother was a diabetic that you will be the diabetic. Mm. I think it's really way more lifestyle related. So, and then you mentioned that there was a question about, and so when we talk about diet, what do we then do and how do we make it easy? And you actually mentioned that somebody asked whether I can use daily foods, not necessarily diabetic foods, to control my blood sugar levels. And so the one thing that's very important is the type of carbohydrate. So what we want to do if we are a diabetic, and I always use the plate scenario. So what you want to do is you want to take half your plate and you want to fill that with free vegetables. So when we call them free vegetables, or I should rather say low carbohydrate containing vegetables, because generally then we can eat, our portions can be bigger. Mm-hmm. We don't have to worry that much about the amount that we consume. So things like your cauliflower, broccoli, onions, mushrooms, the cabbage family, spinach, green leaf family that you would want to cook, green beans, things like your patty pans, baby marrows, even squash, that good old gem squash, that is actually a free vegetable. So it means, and then lettuce, tomato, cucumber, peppers, all of the salad-y stuff would not contain that much carbohydrate. So these are our friends. We want to fill half our plate with these vegetables because they then don't contain a lot of carbohydrates. So you don't necessarily have to buy the thing that says diabetic friendly on the package. If you buy these foods from your local market, a very easy way.
Mm-hmm.
Then focus on the carbohydrates that we do want to consume if we choose carbohydrates. And then the portion is very important. And yeah, the type is very important. So you always want to go for whole grain things like whole wheat bread, rye bread, oats, brown rice, durum wheat pasta, the bean family. So baked beans, butter beans, lentils, split peas, sweet potato, potato in skin. And I would almost put fruits in that category too. If you are a person that like to eat fruit with your meal, you will put it in that quarter of your plate. So we would aim for 125 to 150 grams of whatever type of carbohydrate that you wanted to eat, but that would be the amount, because although the glucose release will be slow from those carbs, the amount is very important. So even if I overload my plate with good carbohydrates, the glucose release and the load will still be too much for the amount of insulin that I have got available in my body then to be able to help my body to keep. And generally for a diabetic, if we get something between 5 and 7, we are quite happy.
Okay.
So that's what you want to do with that quarter of your plate. And then the last quarter of your plate, you want to fill with lean protein. So protein is your friend. You don't have to be scared of protein as long as it's not high fat containing. So we want to have like chicken without skin, pork without the fat, maybe like extra lean beef mince, maybe fish. Or tin fish is also okay if you think about the tuna or a sardine or whatever else. And then obviously things like, I think when you are vegetarian, it becomes a little bit tricky because they go towards edamame beans, tofu, the lentil family. But then very important to watch your portion. So if you are a vegetarian, egg white becomes your friend because it's high in protein, and there's obviously no carbohydrates there. So that's what you want to fill that quarter of your plate with.
Mm-hmm.
And then conservatively, we would go to vegetables like carrots, peas, corn, pumpkin. So a conservative amount of that, I would stick to give or take 100 grams at a time when it comes to those type of vegetables. So that's sort of what the diabetic plate should look like. And then obviously you can choose whole grains for breakfast. If you think about oats and maybe half fiber bran, or toast with tomato and avo. And then the same sort of thing when we look at lunchtime, you want to sort of copy dinner and lunch plates, but in a smaller amount, obviously lunchtime, but maybe dinner portions. And then snack wise, lean dairy, so in other words, low-fat dairy, low-fat, maybe a yogurt or cottage cheese or some low-fat milk. So dairy, not too bad, but obviously we have to watch the amount of sugar in there. So generally, when it comes to yogurts and stuff, I would advise diabetics to go for your fat-free option, not necessarily because of the fat, but because they are conservative with the amount of sugar that they put into the yogurt, and it's generally topped up with something like an artificial sweetener. So that's if you follow these type of guidelines, I think you are you would get better glucose readings on a daily basis. Yes.
Because, you know, just listening to that recipe and that menu, if I can put it that way, is pretty much the guidelines that you generally give for a good diet, a good balanced diet for a normal person, you know, not discriminating against a diabetic person. But, you know, a good all-round diet is what you've pretty much just described. And it's nothing. It's nothing that you need to go hunting around the back corners of supermarkets for.
No, so it's definitely normal food that we have generally in our homes. So you know, I think the concept or the idea that you have to go and buy diabetic friendly food, it's not maybe you can do it without the diabetic friendly packet. I think it becomes in. You know, diabetic-friendly choices is more like in the luxury type of things where you would have to go hunting. So if you want to eat the sweets or the chocolates or the biscuits or the whatever else.
Right.
But, I mean, even if it comes to a chocolate, it's I always explain to people that if you think of a half a plate of mash and you think of one little row of Cadbury's chocolates, when you are diabetic, you know, I would actually say, please rather eat the three blocks of chocolate than a half a plate of loaded mash. But that's if you start understanding the concept and you are working with a professional, you can actually incorporate normal things as well into your meal plan. But yeah, if you just want to go hunting for diabetic friendly things, then obviously you'll have to know about the packets and what's inside. But then with those type of things, there comes another thing into play is the amount of fat that is in there, the types of fat that's in there. So it might be made with a xylitol or a mannitol or something like that, which has got generally a low GI and it's still sweet. It's not necessarily glucose. But then if you want to watch your weight and you are concerned about heart health, which is directly related to being diabetic, we have to be really cautious about what we do in terms of fat as well. Then it becomes a whole nother story.
Right.
Because then you really have to be specific in the stuff that you buy.
Carry on.
You can ask that question first. I think it's related.
You actually once again just need to apply common sense and not necessarily have to go hunting for something that, I can only eat especially diabetic food or chocolates or whatever. No. You've just got to generally over your entire diet use common sense.
Yes, so I understand the disease, number one. And I think a good starting place is normal food.
Mm.
How do I apply healthy food choices to my diagnosis? Because the thing is, with the reason why it is so important for a diabetic to control blood glucose levels is because of the long-term complications.
Mm.
So if I am an uncontrolled diabetic for a long period of time, our risk will be microvascular diseases. So microvascular diseases really becomes sensory. So it influences your gut. It influences blood circulation. It influences, the feeling basically that you will have in your hands and in your toes at the end of the day. But because we don't want the microvascular system to be damaged by high glucose levels over a long period of time, because that's got a direct influence on circulation. So by being controlled, a controlled diabetic, you can prevent all of these risks. And there's a very easy way, and generally diabetics that goes to their doctors or their specialists on a regular basis, there's a blood test that we call HbA1c. So that gives you the average of your blood glucose levels over 3 months.
Mm.
So if your HbA1c is at a good level or a normal level, over, you are being seen as a well-controlled diabetic. So it means that you then decrease the risks of those complications that being diabetic can cause over a long period of time. Right, and that's really why your food choices right at the beginning has got an influence on your glucose levels and also on the longevity, basically, of a lifespan of an individual and the complications that you might acquire or not acquire over a long period of time. Yeah.
And Unetsi, we are running out of time, but I just want to quickly ask you a question. And you mentioned circulation, and the listener asked what kan ons doen om circulatie in die bene en voete te verbeter. Would that be tied into diet or exercise as well?
Yes. So definitely exercise, and I also think. And the circulate, so to improve circulation, all movement is always a good option. So be active, move. But I think it starts way before that. We actually have to, something like circulation, it's being a controlled diabetic prevents poor circulation in the at the end of the day. So make good choices when you are diagnosed so that you can prevent sort of all of that, but then where we maybe if you've been a diabetic for a long period of time, sorry, being active, and being a controlled diabetic will help you with that.
Sorry, do you want to quickly have a cough? Netsi is talking to us today about diabetes and just looking at the circulation aspect of it and problems.
So definitely prevention in this scenario is better than cure.
Okay, again, it's something that's once it's diagnosed, you'll hopefully be able to deal with the assistance of your practitioner, your doctor, and nutritionists, and people like that.
And then also activity is very important in the sense that if you are active, we actually utilize excess glucose. So it assists us in creating normal blood glucose values.
Right.
So very important for a diabetic to be active. Try to walk 30 to 40 minutes a day if you can. I would say that's a necessity.
Okay. Yes. Well, Unetsi, we're going to have to leave it there right now. Thank you very, very much for a very interesting chat. And if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do they go about it?
More than welcome to contact me on 084-609-3989, or they can find me on Instagram at @Unetsi.
Great. Unetsi, thank you very, very much. And also thanks to our listeners for the questions that they sent in. And we're looking forward to chatting to you next week.
Thanks so much, Wayne.
Thanks, Unetsi. Cheerio then. That's Unetsi with today's Nutrition Chat.